The scripture reading for this evening is taken from John 8, faithfulness of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, saying, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. The slave does not remain in a house forever. The son does remain forever. So, if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed."
Well, thank you, Joe, for that good reading. I'm very grateful to have had the privilege today to worship, to be with you folks. I've had the privilege to meet a number of you. I hope you will not give me a test and say, "Tell me your name." I am sorry that my wife Betty is not able to be with us today, though, due to illness, and we will indeed be praying for those that have been mentioned that are ill today. Just by way of introduction, maybe reminiscing a little bit, it's been our privilege to have known Jackie and Joe and Dina, for many years, going all the way back to the time that I was preaching for the West End Church in Richmond, Virginia. I think I've been knowing Randy for quite a long time. And I have to say that, I've known Becky even longer. I've known her since birth. Aren't you glad that we have the truth? One scripture penned by the hand of that wise man, Solomon, inspired, Proverbs 23 and verse 23, perhaps a scripture that you're already acquainted with. This is what is said: "Buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding." What great advice. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Randy, would you mind getting me a little cup of water? I should have taken care of that. Our text is, of course, indicating something that is of great value, something that is lasting in nature. Evidently, whenever the scripture tells us that we are to purchase the truth, that we are to buy it and to never sell it, then it is an expression telling us that in reality, this truth, and of course, while there are any number of areas where there is truth, but this is talking about religious truth. This is talking about truth that is from God. You probably will recall John 17, our Lord himself said, "Thy word is truth." And all of us who have studied the Bible know that whenever we want to seek the truth, whenever we want to find out the truth, well, just concerning any matter, that would have to do with our soul's salvation or that would have to do with what we ought to be doing in worship, in the work of the church, in telling our neighbors the gospel of Jesus Christ. That it is that firm assurance that we're able to go to the Word of God. And we are able indeed to learn the truth, to buy the truth, and to never sell it. Let's talk about a little bit concerning this intrinsic value of the truth. Why should we be seeking it? Why should we urge our family, our children, our neighbors, our nation? Why should we be seeking the truth? Well, because it has such great value. I do not want to be repetitious this evening hour, but when we began to talk about the value of the truth, we realize, well, there is nothing like it. Our brother Joe has read from John, the 8th chapter, and Jesus, giving what we would say very encouraging words, said to those, "If you will continue in my word, then are you truly my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Conversely, whenever we began to ask, well, is there anything else on earth? Is there any other source that we could go to where we could have the assurance we can be set free? We have to say no. It is only as we come to Jesus, it is only as we abide in His truth that we can be free. I think we could spend our hour, I'm not going to speak to you for an hour, so you can relax along that line, but I think we could spend our hour and more even in meditating, in thinking about all that the Lord has in mind when He says the truth can set you free. Free from what? Well, certainly free from sin. Free from sin if we will continue in the Word of God. It is that which is going to set us free from the old covenant. It is that which is going to set us free from being slaves of sin. Think about it for a moment, though. Here are some demands that the Lord is making. I know you follow along with me. How can we be His disciples? How can we be set free from sin? Only if we continue in His Word. How does that strike you? How does that strike you? You know, the religious world itself, I don't think it really believes that principle. I have even met some brethren, and I'm sorry to say this, but I have even met some brethren that have said, well, you know, you don't have to be all that particular about the words that are found in the Bible. And then there are others who are very quick to charge those of us who say, you know, we have to continue in the doctrine of Christ. They say, well, that's legalism, isn't it? That's legalism. If you say, for whatever we want to know, for whatever we want to do, for whatever we want to practice, we've got to abide in the words of Christ. And somebody says, that'll make a fanatic out of you, you know. It'll make you a fanatic. But I want you to know, dear friends and brethren, you will never, never, ever be a fanatic if you only do what the Lord and the Word of God says. Who are fanatics? Well, fanatics are those that have changed the Word of God. Fanatics are those that are teaching rules. They are teaching something that is not found in the Word of God at all. There's something else that I think most of us have puzzled about. There's another great value to the truth, and that is it warns us about error. It will give us advance notice, if you will. So many, many times as we view the church and the history of the Lord's church, we look back on different divisions, on different errors that have been propagated. Oh, you can go back to the 1800s, the middle of the century, with the establishment of the American Christian Missionary Society, our brethren deciding that they needed to have instruments of music that would be introduced, premillennialism. Well, the list really can just go on and on and on. And someone says, Brother Tope, I am just so concerned about the future. What is going to be the next big error that will be introduced into the church of the Lord? And I have to tell you, I don't know. I don't know. I can guess, maybe, but this is the point. As you and I are thinking about the value of the truth, buy the truth, don't sell it. Why? Well, because it gives us warning. I think almost all of us are familiar with the verses in Psalm 119. Through thy precepts, verse 104, through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. Well, what's that telling us, dear friends? Well, what that is saying is we may not know what the next error is. We may not even think that what there would be a brother in the church that would begin to teach that error. But I'll tell you what, if you say, I want to be able to recognize error when it is presented, whether it is from someone of my acquaintance or whether it is from a total stranger, God's Word, it's a lamp to our feet. It's a light to our pathway. And you know, dear friends, when it just shines right out there for those who become familiar with the Word of God, and you hear something taught from the pulpit, or you hear a Bible class teacher, or you hear something on the television, or wherever it may be, you're in conversation with your religious neighbors, and someone will say something just as if though it is right from the Bible itself. And you say, I know better than that. That is not what the Word of God, that is not what the truth is. There's a third thing that I believe is well worth our consideration as far as the value of the truth. And that is, the truth has that capability, it has that character about it, where it's able to sustain the church. Let's see if we can clarify a little bit. Parable of the sower, well, we have in Luke 8 the explanation, the seed is the Word of God, and that's great. We look at Matthew 13, and we see that it says that seed is the word of the kingdom. The word of the kingdom. Now, I don't know what all is going to be presented in the big picture that you folks are interested in. But you know, here's an observation that we can make. We go into all the world. We will go into a country, and there is no church. Oh, there's the denominations of men. One of the favorite things that people would say to me is, if you got the truth, why are you so late in getting here? Why are you so late in getting here? But the truth of the matter is that without that sowing of the seed of the kingdom, the church does not exist. It does not matter what country we go into today, whether it is Africa, whether it is in South America, China, Japan, or just wherever we may go. Where the Word of God, where the truth has not gone, you know what? There's no church. There's no church. I want to thank you, brethren, for the financial assistance that you have sent to my son, Scott. I hope all of you are aware that the good church here has done that. South Africa today is a very dangerous country. The men who are preaching and teaching the gospel there are all courageous soldiers of the cross. They need our prayers. They need our help. But the truth of the matter is that if the men there, or as I've said, in any other country, if they are not busy, if they are not teaching the truth, the Word of God, the seed of the kingdom, the Lord's church can never be established. What is true in other countries is also true here in America. The one reason why you and I want to be busy in telling others the truth is not only so that the church here can be strong, can be established on that truth, but so that it might be possible. Cities here in California where the Church of our Lord does not exist, preach the word. Preach the word. I think things maybe are going to get a little bit tougher now. What are some of the characteristics of the truth? The truth is, always has been, and always will be, very, very narrow. Very, very narrow. I think I heard a brother today refer to Matthew 7. But you know verses 13 and 14. Our Lord here in this great Sermon on the Mount, he gives warning. And this is the way we find the scripture reading in Matthew 7. Enter by the narrow gate, verse 13. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. There are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate, difficult. Is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. How's that strike you? Truth never varies. Do you know that the truth is not even gray? It's not gray. Old preachers always want to tell stories, so bear with me. I knew a couple. They left the way of truth. They went over across town to a church that called itself the Church of Christ. But evidently, this couple, they were still a little bit troubled about the things that were going on in that new church. And so the lady approached one of the leaders, I suppose, in the congregation. And as I recall, there was another person that was telling me this, but as I recall, whenever she asked him about some of the things they were doing, and oh, they were growing. I want you to understand, they were a popular group. But whenever she asked this man, she said, why are we doing this and that? He said, well, you know, there is no church that is altogether right. We just try. Now, this is the kicker, if you will. We just try to get as close to it as we can. But in reality, none of us are altogether right. Well, bless your heart, dear folks, and I mean this just from the bottom of my heart. If that is true, if we cannot, if you cannot, it doesn't matter whether you're a young person, whether you are aged, a man, a woman, a teenager, if we cannot find out what the truth is, I'll tell you, we're all lost. The idea of our talking about a true church, the idea of our saying that the church belongs to Christ, I'll tell you, there's no such thing. The truth is narrow. It does not vary. It does not change over the ages of time. Culture has nothing to do with whether we're following the truth or not. It does not matter what century we're living in. It does not matter what state we're living in, what country we're living in. None of that matters whatsoever. But oh, that truth. You can know the truth. The truth will set you free, but that truth is not wishy-washy. That truth is something, it always says the same thing all the time. You've got to be narrow to be saved. I don't know whether that appeals to some of you or not. Maybe you've been taught, oh, we ought to be broad-minded. No. Not whenever it comes to the Bible. Not whenever it comes to the Word of God. Know the truth. The truth will set you free. Buy the truth. Do not sell it. But the truth does not vary. The Bible, Bible study. It's not an academic thing. The truth, and nothing but the truth, needs your love. You have to love the truth. Warning. 2 Thessalonians. Here the great apostle knew just as sure as anything that there was that great apostasy that was coming. The man of sin would be revealed. But this is what he says in verses 10 through 12 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because, why do you suppose because? Why are these going to perish? Because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. They did not receive the love of the truth. Oh, my dear brother and sister, whenever we talk about buy the truth and don't you ever sell it, we are talking about the most valuable thing in your life. It is the greatest treasure. It is the greatest riches that you're ever going to have. And you love it. You love it with all of your heart. You hang on to it. And so, without a shadow of a doubt, then we come to the third characteristic of the truth. It has to be appropriated. What's that mean? It has to be appropriated. It means you have to study it. Nobody can do it for you. That's the kind of thing about the truth. You just have to say, because the truth does not vary, because the truth is something that I am going to learn to love, I'm just going to learn all of the truth that I can. Psalm 1, blessed is the man. Who is he? His delight, verse 2, Psalm 1, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his word does he meditate day and night. And I have to ask old Gene Tope, do you do that? Do you do that? Do you get up early? Here's some of you folks, some of you men, you have early shifts that you have to go to work for. Maybe you work late at night. And you say, well, Brother Gene, I don't have time to study the Bible. Oh, yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. You love the truth. You appropriate the truth for yourself, and so you get up a half an hour early. You study God's Word before you go to bed at night. You gather your family around you, and I'll tell you, this isn't old-fashioned. It's not out of style. You mamas and daddies, you get your youngsters, and you study the Bible with them every day, every night, so that all of you are appropriating the truth. Truth must be taught. Elders are to teach the truth. What great harm. How terrible it is whenever we have the overseers in the church that neither know the truth or appreciate the truth or teach the truth. Preachers. They're not supposed to be hail fellows well met. They're supposed to preach the word of God. How does Paul say it? Preach the word. Be instant, in season, and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. But you know, dear folks, every one of us that are here in this assembly, we've got to be teachers of the truth. That old church in Jerusalem, persecuted though they were, scattered abroad, Acts 8 and verse 4, they went everywhere preaching the word. That's the secret to church growth. Every Christian loving the truth, appropriating the truth, studying the truth, and then without fear or favor, without trying to soften it, without trying to appeal to our fellow man with some kind of sugar stick, the word. It's the only thing that will convert. It's the only thing that will set us free. You've got to defend the truth. You talk about bravery. You talk about courage. Do you remember that great old passage back here in that little book of Jude? Jude had in mind that as he wrote, well, he would write to the brethren about the common salvation. But verse 3, beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary, I found it needful to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which once for all was delivered to the saints. Those are fighting words. Those are fighting words. Those are instructions that are given to every Christian. I don't think it matters whether it's a Jehovah's Witness that comes to our door, a Mormon, an Adventist, whoever it may be. Can you contend earnestly for the faith? We must. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, 1 Peter 3. Be ready always to give an answer concerning the reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. Oh, my dear brethren, are we drifting? Are we slipping away from these very precepts that are just at the very heart of the truth? You won't win people with social programs. You will not convert somebody because you want to make them feel good. The truth is going to require sacrifice on your part. I don't think that means, well, I sacrifice by coming to Bible study on Sunday morning. I don't think that's what is involved. You teach the truth. And just as surely as I'm standing before you tonight, you're going to make somebody mad. You're going to make an enemy. And while I hate to even say it, to contemplate it, sometimes it is our own brother or sister in the church. What are we to do? Without fear, without favor. Oh, that's my uncle, that's my grandchild, that's my niece. Without fear, without favor. Oh yes, in meekness and fear. You be one of these children of God that is willing to stand for the truth, even if you have to stand all by yourself. Truth has to come first with you. Brother and sister, I'm pleading with you tonight. You buy that truth. Don't you sell it for anything. Live it out. Live it out in your life. Let your friends, let your family, let your workmate, let everybody know I'm a child of God. I don't know my audience tonight. Is there one or more of you that the gospel this evening hour has reached your mind, has touched your emotions? Have you obeyed the gospel? Good Bible term. You believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Would you be willing to confess Him before this good audience tonight? Would you want to enter the waters of baptism to have your sins washed away? Have you fallen away? Has your love for the truth grown cold and indifferent? Have you bought into the schemes of men? Brother Randy, lead us in that good song. Let us help you if we can. Please, let's stand and sing.